I have never met a toilet that my ass didn't like.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
I want to start off on this podcast talking about my new toilet because I am so excited. I know Christmas is still a couple of months away, but I feel like Christmas morning when I started utilizing my brand new toilet.
When you took a shit, it felt like Christmas morning?
You know, I haven't taken a shit in the new toilet yet either. But I want to explain something about this toilet, which is revolutionary. And maybe I'm the only one who doesn't know that toilets could do this.
But has to scan your face before you flush?
Okay, long story short, and all of us have been on the toilet, so I think I'm talking about something that's common ground here. At 5:45 in the morning, my wife, your mother, wakes me the other day in a panic. The small bathroom near the garage is flooding. The toilet is doing all kind of crazy toilet things. There's towels all over the place. It's a panic. Okay. I turn off the water. That's the first thing I do. But it's still a nightmare. It's the toilet's broken, basically. So
I love the idea of handyman Greg Cody springing into action.
gets his tool belt on.
I'm going to say this. When my wife had no idea what to do, and I was the one who immediately went behind the toilet and turned off the water, I felt very manly. I did.
For the first time in your marriage, you have value.
That's right.
I thought you were going to say it was there where I realized I don't know what I'm talking about with any of this stuff.
Well, I can say that in a lot of areas, but this time the knob was actually there that turned off the water. So anyway, that morning we call our plumber, Art Plumber, Art Plumbing it's called. And I never know whether
I thought your plumber's name was Art Plumber. I was like, wow. Well,
no, you know what's weird? I'm giving him a free endorsement here in South Florida. It's called Art Plumbing. And I've never asked whether it's because the owner is named Art or whether it's just, you know, Art Plumbing.
Is plumbing an art? I don't think plumbing's an art. Not to offend plumbers, but
anyway, long story short, we have the toilet changed that day. They come out that day because I'm singing the blues. It's an emergency. So they come out that day. They take out my old toilet, which is broken. They put in a new one. It's a Kohler. It's fantastic. Now, you pay an arm and a leg for a toilet. What do you guys guess a new toilet costs?
$635.
Christopher?
Wow. I was going to say a little cheaper.
$1, $1.
I was going to say like a couple hundred.
My guess would have been closer to what Yeti said. The total price, tax tag and title, was about $1,300.
Jesus.
I'm going to text my wife right now and say we're not doing the remodel right away. We were just talking about toilets earlier today. Not happening for a while.
Okay. How does that work? Is there like a toilet salesman that's like, you know, you can get like 7,000 shits out of this thing? Like, are they like trying to upsell you on like how long it's going to last you?
100%. I mean, I had my choice of 4 or 5 models. If you have anything but white, it's an added cost.
Did you sit on them? Give them a test drive?
No. While the guy was there. Hey, excuse me. Step out of the room. I want to take a shit before I buy this thing. No, I did not do that. But anyway, so I paid an exorbitant fee at a brand new toilet.
Did you sit on the toilet?
I have since, not while the guy was here.
I'm saying like in the store, you didn't sit on it? Not obviously you didn't pull your pants down. I'm saying, did you actually sit on it though in the store?
No, I did not.
Wow, that's a dangerous game. I'm definitely sitting on that thing. There's definitely some seats out there that are not comfortable. I am lifting that lid and I'm sitting on that in the store, not with my pants down, obviously. I might bring two pairs of pants just so I can go through the motion of taking one down.
Okay.
And, you know, just to get a real, you know, a real walkthrough.
All right. I have never met a toilet that my ass didn't like. So
really?
No.
Wow.
Yes. So I didn't bother sitting on it.
Put that. Let's clip that. I like that clip.
Okay. Now, if you think all toilets are alike, you're wrong. Because let me brag about my toilet. Maybe this is why it costs so much. Or maybe all toilets do this now, and I'm a dumbass. My toilet's lid goes slowly down on its own, as if there are hydraulics involved.
It's like those cabinets that you can't slam because it like automatically closes slowly. Yeah, I like that.
Right, because we've all accidentally dropped the lid, and it makes this big banging sound, which if you do it at 3 a.m. is a problem.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
my new lid won't do that because it you touch it with your finger and it goes slowly down like this, just inch by inch. I called my wife over as soon as she got home. I said, "You won't believe what our new toilet does."
That's it.
I take her in there and I show her, and her first reaction is, "Yeah, I think they all do that now."
Yeah.
Totally deflated.
I was going to say, like, this has been like a fun story. Like, I was having fun getting to where we were going, but this was like a good movie with a bad ending, because like the last two places that I've lived have had that with all the toilets. So like this is not a big deal that what you're...
I thought you were going heated bidet or something.
Yeah, like I really was expecting something big and you're just like...
I am a little let down, Greg.
It was fun though. It was fun. It was a fun ride.
Look, this is another example of me being a little bit behind the curve on technology.
Yeah.
I personally did not know a toilet could do that for me and I was thrilled to watch it, but I guess everybody knows that. So by the way...
Welcome to the Greg Cody Show.
Yeah, by the way, welcome to the Greg Cody Show, your toilet headquarters. Nobody talks toilets like this podcast, but we have a lot of stuff to get to. We're going to talk a lot about sports, the scandal that embroiled the Florida Panthers with the coach Quenneville having to quit. We're going to get to Dolphins and Canes and all that stuff. And our special guest, Gary the Bag Rosenfeld. Oh, my Lord. This is going to be fun.
Just the bag. I think people know him just as the bag.
Okay.
Bagging it.
Yes. If you all listened to the Levitard Show this past Tuesday, you heard me with a fleeting reference of Gary the Bag Rosenfeld, my old friend from the 1440 days. And they started talking about it. And long story short, we have him on in a podcast exclusive. Gary the Bag Rosenfeld will be joining us.
It's just one of those things that you casually reference that name. And in my mind, I'm like, wow, maybe that's some like Red Sox first baseman from the 80s. Maybe it's some old Yankee that my dad hates. Because obviously he would, you know, not just randomly drop a friend. But no, it's just a friend of Greg Cody's that he calls. I can't wait to get to the bottom of this bag nickname.
Chris, let's ask this on the front end and let's see what Gary says. So, Greg, were you the only person who called him the bag, or is that how the rest of the neighborhood knew him or referred to him?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what terrifies me. I'm not sure his nickname actually is the bag or was. In my mind, it is. Like, for 40 years, when I think back to my childhood and Gary Rosenfeld, not like I do it a lot, I think of him as by that nickname. So it's going to be interesting and possibly embarrassing for us to actually find out. Tell me your nickname from those days. And he's like, "What do you mean?"
I think you just got to play it as he's the bag and then just be like, "You remember that nickname, right?" And then just like,
yeah, because what if he says donkey dick or something?
Yeah.
This is going to be freaky.
Wow. It's going to get freaky.
I'm a little nervous about this Bag Rosenfeld interview because
that is true. We haven't thought about that possibility either. Maybe the bag nickname was a sexual. No, too far, too much.
Okay, yeah, too much.
Dad, why do you have a skull next to you? Like, this is like, we don't put any video out generally. Like, this is a podcast, like an audio, and you have a Halloween skull to your right over your shoulder.
I think you just answered the question with the phrase Halloween skull.
Oh, a little themed background.
Exactly.
For those who can't see, Greg, is that skull wearing the same hat you wore in the Ballad of 1440 video?
It is, by the way. That's a great segue by you because I would love to play that song, which is about why we're having Gary Rosenfeld on, the bagger.
Well, I said goodbye to 1440 this morning, to baseball cards and toss the tanks on a pebble drive, to balsa wood planes and big box kites up in the sky. Oh, I never dreamed my life might fly as high. My daddy saved my clippings in a scrapbook. Now my name's at the top of the page and on the air. They're gonna try and act like I'm some kind of big shot, but they'll never make me something that I'm not, 'cause I'm a West Hollywood boy, 1940. Super Bowls, superstars, things I've never ever seen. Still a dream of that street, yeah, that I knew as a boy.
Those were the days, my friend.
I'm glad because he's about to join us live. We're gonna welcome him onto the podcast live. He's gonna join this Zoom and we're gonna say, "Hey, you're on the air." So like, you know, hopefully he shows up. But I can't wait for him to see that skull and just be like, "Classic Greg."
And speaking of Halloween, Greg, Chris told me recently that you prepare 3 pumpkins every year, and that 2 are always the same, but there's always a wild card.
Where did I tell you that, Yeti? Where did I tell you that?
Chris brought that up on his appearance on Yes, Maybe, No. We discussed Halloween. If you haven't heard that episode yet, it's a great listen, and you can help Chris get more listens than his dad's episode mm-hmm. that he appeared on 2 weeks ago. Wow. But yeah, so he revealed that you had you do 3 pumpkins every year. 2 are the same, and then there's 1 wild card. What is your wild card this year for Halloween?
Well, I want to start by saying it's a neighborhood tradition.
Nobody knows it in the neighborhood, but
no, people know it. Believe me, it's with great effort that I buy 3 pumpkins. Damn thing weigh 50 pounds each. I'm up on a ladder.
Like 16 pounds.
No, they don't. They're heavy. He ain't heavy. He's my pumpkin. I get up on a ladder. I'm putting them on the roof after I carve them, of course. And they're heavy as hell. But here's the thing. Okay, it's always the same scenario. The one in the middle is the classic O.
The O face.
The classic Home Alone. The classic Home Alone O. That's always in the middle. And that's a standard.
The classic Home Alone O is something you have to be a little bit more specific about.
How would you know what I'm talking about? How would you describe it?
Oh man, that is such a good joke by me. I think you both missed it, but like some people right now are just laughing at their in their car. Like that was a good joke by me. I think you guys will get
it
on the
dirty joke.
Sometimes when people are home alone.
Home Alone O, there we go. Yeah.
A Home Alone O face. I don't know. It just
Mike
I
Ryan said good. There's difficulty if you're watching that Share in the Elephant movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You guys are going way over my head right now. The pumpkin on the far left, as you're walking up my walkway, the one on the far left is the classic pumpkin. The one you see everywhere. The face that's got the jagged lines and just a standard.
I love how you're prolonging out this process. He set up. He's like, every year you do 2 same pumpkins and you do 1 wild card. What's your wild card? Right. And Greg's like, here's a story about what I do every Halloween.
Right. Well, I'm describing them. You know, not everybody comes trick or treating to my house. So for those don't in our audience, that's describing true. The pumpkins. And then
we wouldn't have gotten to my good Home Alone joke if you didn't do this. So that's actually.
Yeah. Was it good? And then
my dad's
the pumpkin on the right is the wild card. And I'm not going to reveal what it's going to be this year, but that's usually the one.
This won't air until after Halloween.
That's a good point. another way of saying that is I have no idea what that is going to be this year as we're speaking before Halloween. But, you know, that's usually the one that's a wild card. You know, it's scary. It's weird. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it tries to be really freaky and scary. So we'll see where that goes.
Do the face of Edwin Pope.
I have to say. I do appreciate my dad doing the 3 pumpkins every year because I've tried to I started with 1. I'm like, my dad did this. I'm going to do it for my kid. It is such a pain in the ass to gut these pumpkins.
Oh my God.
If you could buy these pumpkins hollow, I would carve 50 pumpkins, but it is so annoying to shave out all that crap, get all the seeds. I know you can bake those seeds and turn them into delicious snacks, but it is just such a pain in the ass. Like I hate doing that. Because of that one process. I love the idea. I love drawing out the thing, carving the thing. That's all so much fun. It's the cleaning out of these bloody pumpkins that is just the worst.
Right. It's a pain in the ass, but I've perfected baked pumpkin seeds, and they're really good. The key is to get all the orange stringy stuff off them.
Yeah.
So that just the seeds. Get and then crispy. You want to wash them. You want to dry them out. Season them in Cajun.
So good.
Seasoning.
So good. They turn into like big sunflower seed type things.
Yeah, they're totally crunchy. It's a legitimate snack, and I think it's a pretty healthy snack. But you bake them at 325, you know, for 12 minutes or whatever, and they're great.
You're reading Greg Cody's Pinterest page on the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
I wish I had one. I have a Pinterest in having that. But before we get to Gary the Bag Rosenfeld, have either of you become aware that PETA the protector of animals, the people for the ethical treatment of animals, have now come out against using the phrase bullpen in baseball. And they're I have to admit, I like their alternative suggestion. I really do. They're suggesting replacing bullpen with arm barn, which isn't bad. Let's go to the arm barn. You know, that's not bad. I think if we want to take it further, it could be hand land. It could be
Home Alone
Heat
face.
Street. You know, we're going to Heat Street instead of the bullpen. But here's the thing. Bulls aren't complaining about that. Now, if you ask a bull, what are you offended by? He might say bullshit. That's where he's going to go first. But he doesn't. Bullpen is an honor. You know, the bullpen is rescuing the team. And so it's an honor to the bull.
Are we allowed to say that PETA is grabbing the bull by the horns with this topic? Like really trying to.
Yes.
But do they want us to say that? Like, are we allowed to grab bull by the horns?
Probably not.
It really doesn't matter. I like that we've done it.
And I don't know if I agree with you, actually. I don't think the bullpen, like a bullpen in baseball is nothing like what an actual bullpen. Nobody is sitting in a bullpen lounging for like 2 hours. Like, I feel like a bullpen is more like, I don't know why it's called a bullpen, because I would imagine a bullpen to be like a very stressful place. Like, I wouldn't want to just hang out in a bullpen, like an actual bullpen.
I do have to say, though, to PETA's credit, at least they did come up with, like, you know, at least a halfway funny, you know, suggestion to it. I saw someone also say the armpit. That was great.
I like the armpit.
I think we've got bigger fish to fry. Probably can't do that with PETA either. Ah, daggone, I stepped in the bullshit again.
Yeah, we can't do that.
But yeah, I think we have bigger concerns in baseball than what we call the bullpen, per se.
Yeah.
Well, PETA is running out of things to be angry about if they're worried about bullpen, because it doesn't, like, what is the issue here with PETA?
Are we allowed to do this, like, in 2021? Are we allowed to come after PETA the way we're doing it? Because I agree with it, but, like, are we gonna get in trouble, Greg? It's been a rough stretch for you. Like, we don't need you walking into it back-to-back weeks.
Look, I don't mind PETA sticking up for animals, and I agree with a lot of it. You know, I'm not somebody who wears a fur coat because, you know, for reasons that PETA would agree with. But in the case of a benign phrase like bullpen, I just wonder where the outrage is. Like, who thinks that that is something?
I mean,
Dad,
I think the point is that bulls are not treated well, probably, in the world, right? And PETA is like, let's get all mention of bulls being treated poorly out of our vernacular.
Okay.
Look at me using vernacular.
Yeah, when you look at it in context of like the rodeo, they do some really nasty stuff to get that bull riled up. And you know, and that's, I'm on PETA's side when it comes to that. I'm not a fan of this stuff.
Remember what we learned last week, Dad? It's about the people. Like, you might not know that they're hurting, but it's about people that are marginalized.
Okay, have you heard a bull complain? I'm just asking you.
That's a terrible argument, Greg.
Well, you know.
Well, I don't have any problems with the phrase bullpen. That's a bad argument. But we can, like I said, we can do better. Right. At least they came up with a halfway funny solution or suggestion.
All I'm saying, and I'm pro bull, believe me, and I'm anti bullfighting. I think bullfighting is one of the worst things ever. It should be abolished. I'm just saying the phrase bullpen just seems benign, and it seems like a very neutral way to enter the bull into a description. It doesn't offend me. That's
some
people,
and it offends some people.
Right. So this is a pretty good segue, though, into the idea, because it's the connotation of what are you promoting with the bullpen? And a lot of that can really segue into what's going on with the World Series, the heightened awareness about the Braves and the tomahawk chop. You know, that's a real hot button topic right now, Greg.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Braves are in the series for the first time in 22 years. Now, you were or are a Braves fan. So how do you consume this whole tomahawk chop thing?
I am very much a Braves fan. They were my first sports love. My parents introduced me to them in 1984 when I was just a four-year-old kid. They talked to me about Dale Murphy, and I watched the game. They were a terrible team, but something about them made me fall in love, and I've followed them ever since. So I grew up doing, you know, I mean, here's the thing. Bomani brings this up all the time, is that the tomahawk chop hasn't been around for like 50, 60 years. It really only came into play when Deion Sanders took the stage. And they introduced the tomahawk chop then. I'm not saying Deion brought it in, but it was around that era. And it started becoming a thing then. So it's only, you know, 25 years in or something like that, maybe a little bit more. But either way, in between 25 and 30 years in. So I grew up doing it because I'm a kid. Why am I even going to second guess anything? I grew up, and there was a point in my life when I heard people saying it's wrong, I would have been like, oh, whatever, blah, 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 because still I'm not very mature. I didn't question things as much. In the last several years, and a lot of it's thanks to becoming a fan of the Levitard show and him introducing me into different ways of thinking, especially about thinking about how things affect other groups of people, I've turned, and I think it's disgusting. And so one of the arguments is just let us do it. It's not a big deal, you know, and because the people who are doing it don't necessarily see the caricature that it's portraying. And I had the thought earlier today, I don't know how it works in South Florida, but growing up in a small country town, a lot of the people I grew up with, very Southern, are always woeing the way the media portrays people in the South whenever there's a natural disaster or a big crime. The fear is that they're going to go find somebody who is like has the least teeth, the thickest Southern accent, and they're always afraid that they're going to represent Southern culture in a way that doesn't reflect all of them. And like, it's a real fear. You shared with me a 60 Minutes video about my hometown recently, and the host was on a trolley car or a tour bus with other people talking to them about stuff. And one lady legitimately just said that, I don't want y'all portraying us as stupid or dumb, right? You know? And if they could just look at it from that prism, you're applying a caricature to Native American culture that is not representative of all Native American culture. It's not, it's not honoring, it's caricaturizing, making it kind of a cartoon. And a bunch of people who most of them are not Native American are sitting here doing this whole chant. It's misappropriated. It's just wrong. Are there worse things in the world? Sure. But like, this is one little gesture that could be taken that would go a long way to just showing that, hey, maybe I'm willing to stop and think about somebody else's feelings for just a minute. And maybe that will be one less bit of ignorance passed on to the next generation.
Yeah. It's a blatant stereotype that's pretty indefensible. The sound of it is bad. The look of it is bad. And when Native American Indian groups are against the gesture, the tomahawk chop, that should be all you need to hear. Okay. If the people you're offending are offended, maybe you need to move on from it. You know, why is your franchise identified by this stereotype? This is the franchise of Hank Aaron. You have a lot to be proud of. You can lose the tomahawk chop and still keep the heritage of what Atlanta Braves means. Find something new, find something different.
Exactly. And here I am. Like I said, I'm someone who did it. No one's saying I'm a terrible person. I'm not saying that about anybody who does the chop right now. What I ask is just think about what it might mean to someone else and do a little better.
Right.
It's a small step that could go a really long way.
Yep.
And transition, Gary the Bag Rosenfeld has joined the chat.
Oh my God.
Ooh, the bag.
Look at that old man. Who's that old man?
Yeah, I'm telling you. What the hell happened? What happened to us?
Are you talking about the skull or my dad?
Gary wasn't sure whether me or the skull was who's talking to him right now. Okay, this is strange because Gary Rosenfeld and I were friends and neighbors for years growing up. I mean, we literally were next door neighbors.
Wait, because my you're 1440 famously. What was your address, Gary?
1430.
Oh man.
See, I was better by 10 digits.
Now, Gary, have you written a song about 1430?
No. No.
No. Okay.
No. I didn't go that way.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, because I have romanticized 1440 over the years, even though when I look back on it, it was what would you call it? A middle class neighborhood. Yeah. It's not like we grew up, you know, in high society or anything.
No.
But I just look back on those days fondly for some reason. And I wonder, like, every time we go to, do you remember Villa Rose, the pizzeria in Hollywood?
Not really, no.
Okay.
I love this.
Okay.
This is perfect. I just love how my dad, these are so important in his land. It's just like his neighbor is like, nope, don't give a shit.
Okay. No, that's not fair. That's not fair. I mean, I had Sonny's. Remember Sonny's?
Oh, yeah,
oh,
for
the,
sure.
The hoagies, Sonny's hoagies. Yes.
Sonny's yes. Steak hoagies, and they're still there.
Yes, yep. They are.
And when I was down a few years ago, I went back, and it was like a treasure.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And my son went back, and he tasted it. He goes, Dad, this is incredible. I said, yep.
Yes, exactly. And I feel the same way about Villa Rose Pizza. We go there, you know, 3-4 times a year. And every time we go there, it's in the old neighborhood. I drive by the street, North 65th Way. I drive by our old houses.
He pressures his kids to do it too. So we have like all of a sudden we're creeping out this poor family that lives there. There's like a brigade of cars driving by.
It happened to me a whole bunch of years ago. I went back. I got out of the car. I pulled the car up and the basketball pole is still there. If you Google map my house, you will see that that basketball pole my dad put in is still there. He put that in. That's not coming out. There's enough cement underneath that to make it stay.
Dad, is there anything at 1440 that's still there? It looks like 1430 seems to be the house to beat on this block right now.
Well, my dad built the wall that's still there. It's okay. The wall that it goes horizontal and then it bends down and curves.
What you got, 1430?
Well, we had the side of the house was where we had our boat.
Okay.
And we put the boat in on the side of the house. The
Cody's did not have a boat.
And no, we did not.
We had the cool thing about this was that every day it was the Knicks versus the Celtics. Mendy Cody was the referee. Yep. Mendy Cody.
Who is that? Who is that?
That's over their head, Gary.
I know. Mendy Rudolph was a referee in the NBA. Very colorful character. And the two of us would play every day. I mean, every day. Get home from school, do whatever we needed to do. It's either in his court or in my court. His court was different because his court, the basket wasn't 10 feet.
Right.
Mine was.
So my dad is 3 years older than you said, right? So what was like the dynamic there? Did he get the better of you or were you still sticking it to him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was a better shot and, you know, better capable on that.
I love this. This interview is going well.
Who's the better shot now? That's what we need to find out.
Yeah, I can't try to tell you on that. But, you know, basketball was one thing. But the best part was going out and during spring, summer and playing grounders in the street.
Oh, yeah.
And when we played grounders, with a hardball.
Right.
Hardball on asphalt doesn't work very well. I can't tell you how many times we would take a baseball and wrap electrical tape around it.
That's right.
And that would add about 12 pounds to the ball.
Right. Or gray duct tape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were the days. Why didn't we use tennis balls? We did.
The problem was the tennis balls were too light and we couldn't control them. We throw them and they would just go all over the place.
Right.
And we used the bat and everything. You know, it's the old saying, you know, when the street lights come on, it's time to go home.
Right.
That was the time when we kept playing. It was so much fun because we got home, we did what we needed to do, and it was friendly competition. Never a harsh word, never any anger. It was always fun just going out there and throwing the ball around, pitching, catching. The neighbor, remember?
Paul Radke?
Who?
Paul Radke?
No. What was Dmitry Petrovsky?
Petrovsky. Oh, Dmitry Petrovsky. He was right next to me.
Right. And he had in his backyard, he had a larger backyard, and we set up bases.
Right.
And we used to play with the two Mitchum kids. It was Louis and Jeff.
Oh, Louis Mitchum.
Yes.
Louis Mitchum and Jeff Mitchum.
Right.
So wait, there was Paul Radke just a figment of my dad's imagination?
I have no idea who that is.
Okay, Paul Radke was the older kid. Like when I was 14, Paul Radke would have been in high school. He was in the back catty corner over there. Like, you remember, did your mother and my mother used to play Mahjong, right?
No, with Paul Kane's mom. With
Paul Kane's mom. I think the Radkes were right next to...
Was it Paul Kane, Dad? Was it Paul Kane and not Radke? Have you just been getting it wrong your whole life?
No. I'm still friends with Paul Kane.
Are you?
Paul Kane lives He lives in Boynton Beach. They're
we should get him on.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I remember him, the Paul Radke, because I think at that point I must have traded. So I traded Super Bowl II program for some Yankee stuff from him.
Oh, wow.
I had the Super Bowl II program.
Okay. So he exists. I love the idea of him not existing.
Yeah.
Like that's,
oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It's been verified.
Yeah.
Paul Radke was not a figment of my imagination.
No.
That's his skull right beside you.
Yeah.
That's right. And the only thing I remember about the Canes, other than hosting Mahjong, is that the matriarch of the family had the greatest first name, Jet. Am I right?
Jet Kane.
Jet Kane.
Jet Kane. Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. His daughter, he's going to be a grandfather very soon for the first time. And he's got a son and a daughter, and she's pregnant and she's married and everything. And it's just really cool because the fact that everybody in the neighborhood stayed in the neighborhood. We really didn't go crazy with going places and stuff.
Can you paint the picture? Like, because I have always imagined my dad, we always like to make fun of him because, you know, when he was in his teens, like early, you know, 15, 16, 17, when he was out supposed to be chasing girls, he was sitting in his room playing Strat-O-Matic baseball with Paul Radke.
That's- Excuse me. Don't get nasty. Because I was playing with him.
Right.
We would do in his carport. He was the Red Sox. I was the Yankees.
Yes.
And we had Strat. I bought 2 months ago Strat-O-Matic for the first time.
I love Strat-O-Matic. I'm not shaming Strat-O-Matic. Okay. I'm just kind of shaming my dad. Like,
you're shaming your dad?
I just want you to give me the good stories. Give me something juicy here. Give me something about him that would like embarrass him here. We're a fun podcast. We need something good here.
Podcast.
Like, what's embarrassing? It's Strat-O-Matic.
There wasn't anything really embarrassing about either one of us.
Who had the better record?
Yeah, who would win Strat-O-Matic?
Strat-O-Matic? It kind of was like up in the air. And you have to understand that the Strat-O-Matic we had was the 1969 Strat-O-Matic.
Right.
And so that meant we had the 1968 teams. So the Yankees weren't a good team. The Red Sox were.
Yes.
And it was always a struggle because, and this is what age does to you. You mellow like you wouldn't believe. I hated the Red Sox. I mean, hated the Red Sox. And I was diehard Yankees. And I have mellowed so much that whenever I see baseball on, you know, the Ken Burns thing, and I see them talk about Ted Williams, or I see them talking about Carl Yastrzemski and those guys, it just amazes me, because you see style and you see grace and you see incredible outfielders. Meantime,
yeah,
back when he and I were playing, I can't use the word, I hated them with passion.
Now, Gary, I want to ask you something.
Ask.
If I ask you, back in the days we're talking about when we were hanging out, mm-hmm. what was your nickname? What would you say?
Bag.
Yes! Oh! Yes! The
bag has spoken!
Yes! Oh my God, thank you so much.
Gary, right now, Gary's looking at us like, why are they celebrating that? Let me paint the picture for this, Gary. So like on the Dan Le Batard Show podcast, I'm a producer for, my dad regularly appears on. The other day, he just randomly dropped a Gary the Bag Rosenfeld reference in the middle of the pod with no reference. Nobody knew who you were besides my dad, clearly. And my dad loves to do stuff like that where people are like, clearly want to ask now, who's Gary the Bag Rosenfeld? And we get to just realizing it's my neighbor. It was my childhood neighbor.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of what sparked us wanting to get you on here today, is my dad's need just for the comedic timing of an obscure like name drop.
You know why? Do you know why that? How I got it?
Well, go ahead. We would love to. We would love to know why.
All right. I was the type of guy that was extremely anal retentive about my appearance and my baseball style, and whether I was wearing my pants with the stirrups properly when I played, you know, competitive baseball and things like that. Well, here we are, 4, 5, 6 kids, and my wife and I were talking about this the other day. The Sears Mall in Hollywood, when it was the Sears Mall, I would take my rounds and I would go to different stores. That was when your mother and father can drop you off and you can just go to the mall. Well, I went to Bob's Sports Shop.
I remember that.
And one day I picked up, ooh, a rosin bag, and I liked it. I said, wow, this is pretty good.
There it is.
So I did that. Now here's a bunch of kids playing ball in the Petrotsky's backyard.
Yes.
And I had the rosin bag in my back pocket. And every time I did that, you know, the rosin would get all of my hand. So instead of Rosenfeld, it was rosin bag. And then it was finally changed to bag.
Nice.
Wait, so it's Gary Bag Rose. Is it the bag or is it bag?
Whatever he wants. It's his choice.
Okay. It seems like it's just bag, and my dad changed it to the bag. I have to admit, the bag has more of like a better ring to it. So like,
oh, I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, the funny thing is that, you know, after we left and changed and grew up a little bit, I never had a nickname, and I always liked the bag.
I'm telling you, I cannot tell you how thrilled I am.
Yeah, that you're never right about
that for me.
You're always wrong with stuff like that.
It's better than me calling pine tar.
I'm always wrong with stuff like that. And I feared having you on today, in this coming up, I feared that for 40 years or whatever, for unknown reasons, I always thought your nickname was The Bag or Bag, and it wasn't. And then that makes me crazy. So for you to validate that.
It would have been better for the show if if you were like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, honestly, you actually being The Bag, that's kind of the way this show works.
Yeah.
It was actually a little bit of a letdown for me. I was hoping that you were like, who the hell's The Bag? And then my dad just like concocted that whole thing.
Well, it was not a letdown for me, because that was my fear, is that I was crazy all this time. But now I'm validated.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's kind of funny because, you know, none of us really had nicknames. We never did. I mean, it was Louie, it was Jeff, it was Greg, it was Gary. And then, you remember Greg Ron?
Oh, yeah, I do, actually.
Did he have one G or two Gs?
One.
I think it was, yeah, it was R-A-H-N, right?
Yeah, and he was around the corner. He never really played with us, though. And then no. It was John LeCitra.
Oh, yeah. The LeCitras. Yeah. John LeCitra.
He's a mailman.
To this day, I occasionally hear from a sister or somebody, some LeCitra.
Emily.
That's the weird thing about social media. Like you and I, this is the first time you and I have spoken to each other in decades. But
yeah,
it's not that awkward because we occasionally will email, like you emailed me, mm-hmm. you know, a few months ago or a year ago or whatever mm-hmm. to say, hey, I'm back into Stratomatic. And mm-hmm. so I feel like we've sort of kept in touch
yeah.
over the decades.
Well, the door that Greg opened up for me was the fact that when I was in high school, I was the high school sports editor for the Nova View. And Greg hooked me up with the Broward edition so that I can go ahead and do the high school football sports. First time I started doing that stuff was with WGBS with Bill Brubaker. How's that for a memory?
Wow.
Man. And 7:10 a.m. radio. And I would go to the football games and I got my little press card and everything. And I write down the scores and stuff like that. And Greg hooked me up with, what was his name?
Oh, gosh. Paul Radke.
No. What was the guy at the Broward? Jeff.
Jeff the Sack Berkowitz.
Jeff Garland.
Pete Jeff?
Pete Jeff.
Yeah, that was one of my bosses.
No way his name's Pete Jeff.
Yeah.
And what's his name? What can I tell you?
Never have gotten that.
Yeah, his name was Pete Jeff. And I ended up doing high school for sports. And
wow.
I was actually going, because of that and doing all that stuff, I wanted to go to the University of Florida and go into sports writing. And as soon as I got to school and I started doing those things, one of my first teachers said to me, hey, pal, it's not what you know. And I said, I know Greg Cody. He goes, who?
That's a good answer by whoever that was. That's a perfect answer. And that's a great dismount.
Gary the Bag.
Gary the Bag Roosevelt.
So nice to meet you.
Gary, thank you for putting up with our nonsense.
Do you have a rosin bag with you on you right now? Where's one at?
I got a bat.
There you go. Close enough. Gary the Bat.
Yeah. You have to have a rosin bag. You got to go buy one.
I got to go buy one.
Gary, really appreciate it. Keep in touch.
Well, thank you very much. You guys take care. Speak soon.
See you, Gary.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, thank you, Gary the Bag Rosenfeld. It was so good. It was so good reacquainting with my old friend after like a half a century. And it's now Halloween night, yeah. And we're walking around the hood. Graceland's dressed like Princess Belle. It's fantastic.
It's actually not that muggy tonight, which is good. Usually it's like sweating your ass off down in Florida, but this is, it's probably like 72 right now.
Yeah, no, it's gorgeous. It's balmy. It's really nice. So what a big week for sports. Just recapping it super quickly. The story of the week was Joel Quenneville, the Florida Panthers hockey coach.
They have candy. Yeah.
Okay. Resigning in disgrace after this scandal involving his being the coach in 2010 in Chicago. When
I love how they I love how he resigns. Like that changes. Like, oh, I resigned. I didn't get fired. It's like, no, you got fired.
You got fired. He was ousted. I mean, if he hadn't resigned, he would have been fired. Believe me. And he needed to be. As a dog barks for ambiance in the background. What can I tell you? How do you live with that? You know, how do you know that there's a sexual assault involving your coaching staff and you turn the other cheek and 11 years later it comes out?
I just can't believe the fact that, like, it just makes zero sense that you would prioritize some, like, videographer over, like, obviously the humanity of it is ridiculous. But if you think about just the hierarchy of an organization, you'd think that Even if you were being callous about this, you would value the player more than some replaceable, what was he, a videographer?
Yeah, a video coach was his title. But you're absolutely right.
And you're so worried to keep him there that you like just totally disregard and harm one of your players.
Well, I think it was the timing of the thing. This whole thing happened as they were beginning their postseason run. And this is a great team that ended up winning the Stanley Cup.
So his argument was, is that this is just such bad timing. I can't have a bad season.
His priority is, I'm not going to let this become the distraction that blows up my team.
How about you be a human?
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, it's a terrible thing that came to a head. And
I guess we're going to find out how important coaching is in hockey, because this team is, like, made to win this year. And it's like, are they going to keep it in-house? Are they going to bring in a Tortorella type?
Right.
Can you hold this?
Yeah, I sure will. Thank you.
Grayson, are you done with trick-or-treating? How's your Halloween been?
Good.
Okay. Yeah? What are you dressed like? Nice chatting with you.
Yeah.
Okay. She's done. Yeah. but, yeah, I don't know how he hid this for all these years and lived with it, but it's past now. And if
I'm just glad they did the right thing, we can move on now and celebrate this good team. And like this was just going to hang over them if they tried to like stick this out with him.
Yeah, and if the Panthers end up winning and you know, making a big push in the playoffs and having a great season despite all this, that's going to be a terrific story for them to have overcome it. So
I feel like the Dolphins are not even worth talking about.
Let's just mention that they lost again. They're now 1-7. And since the Jets lost, the Dolphins are now officially the worst team.
The Jets won.
The Jets won. So the Dolphins are alone in last place in the AFC East. However, the Hurricanes won a huge game. The heat is off to a terrific start. So there are some positives for sure.
So a few houses back, Graceland, it's one of the oddest things I've ever seen. Someone like, you know, sometimes people like to be funny and they'll like, you know, hand you a toothbrush and then they'll be like, just kidding, here's the real candy.
Right.
You know these like frozen ice pops that people eat?
Yeah.
Somebody gave out like room temperature non-frozen ice pops. So it's basically like, take this home, put it in the freezer, okay, and then enjoy this ice pop later. It's just, I mean, it's, I like them. They taste good. It's just one of the oddest things I've ever seen given out.
I've never heard that as a trick-or-treat thing, but I have to say I don't hate it. You know, the prize comes later.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind that too much.
And earlier in the podcast, you told a long-winded story about how you designed these three pumpkins every year.
Yes.
And I'm looking at them right now. You have your standard O face.
Right.
You have the scary one. And what's your third one this year? What is that third guy?
Well, the one on the right is the standard one that I do every year. It's what I would consider to be the classic pumpkin is the one on the right. The middle one is my Home Alone O. And then the one on the left is the one that wants to be scary.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it worked out well. We've had a nice crowd at our house tonight. It's been a nice Halloween with beautiful, balmy weather. Before we get going here, though, I want to... Before we get out of here.
People must think we're so weird. I'm just realizing now that we're walking around a neighborhood like with a phone in our face. Like
we are.
Like, people are like, what are they doing? Like, enjoy your holiday. It's so weird.
I am enjoying my holiday. But we don't have a Hard Knocks Lobos this week. But it doesn't mean we don't have a Lobos.
I'm super excited.
I know you are. It's going to be quick, but this is mid-season, okay? Not counting tonight's game, which I'm optimistic of winning. We're 5-2, tied for first in the league at mid-season. And I'm about to reveal my mid-season MVL, the mid-season most valuable Lobo. Now, is it Lamar Jackson, who's leading my team in points?
L-Jack. You had dinner at his house a few weeks ago.
I did, and God, it was gorgeous. And he came through with those Lobos mint juleps, by the way, which were fantastic, aperitif. Anyway, no, the MVL at midseason is Ja'Marr Chase, my rookie.
Yeah.
And because
he's been good.
He came out of nowhere.
Out of left field, you'd say.
Exactly. And I did not expect him. I expected L-Jack to do what he's doing. I did not expect Ja'Marr Chase. He's been the cherry on the cake. He's been a pleasant surprise. He is my MVL. I told him that earlier at camp. A grin broke out on his face. It was unbelievable. He's a kid.
A cherry goes on an ice cream sundae, right? Does it go on a cake?
Cherry cake. Yeah. Cherry's Jubilee.
Shake.
Cherry Garcia. That whole thing.
Can I talk about my I'm actually in my big money fantasy league. Right. We're going to win this week, so we're going to be 4-4. It's a frustrating year, though, so far, because we're the high points in the league. You know how every year there's one team that has the high points, but they've also gotten unlucky and faced a lot of points?
Yeah.
Like, we have, like, 100 more points than the next team. Wow. So you'd think that would be, like, a 6-1 record, 7 and, you know what I mean? Like, right. You'd think that's where we'd be, but we're, like, just now with the winning this week, we're going to be 4-4, like, wow. Barely in the playoffs. Like, I still know I have Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, Derrick Henry. Like, it's a loaded team. Yeah. So, and DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I'm not worried. Like, the team's going to... I'm just like, it's one of those, and no one cares. Like, I feel people like falling asleep at this story. Like, it's no one cares about other people's fantasy teams.
Unless it's Greg Lobos.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I feel like we should just go back to being normal humans now and stop talking into a phone.
Let's wrap it up. Go into our house, binge on.
Make an O face.
Make an O face, binge on chocolate. And
you didn't get that joke earlier, did you?
No, what happened?
Like, Home Alone O-Face joke?
No. What was it?
You didn't get it?
No.
I love it because I'm trying to make it seem like it's all in sequence, like, because, right. Like, even though we recorded that, like, a couple days ago,
yeah.
Like, so you don't even remember what the joke was.
Right.
Okay.
Tell me.
Earlier in the episode, we were talking about Home Alone O-Face.
Yes.
And, you know, I was like, that's inappropriate. We can't talk about that. And you just have no...
I didn't get it then, and I don't get it now.
It's because, you know, sometimes when people are home alone, they do things that might incur an O-face. You don't even know what O-face means.
No, I really don't.
Oh my God, you are so old.
What does it mean?
I'll explain to you. Let's wrap up the episode and I'll explain it to you.
I think you need to explain it on the air.
Just, I'll explain it to you in our little, like, post.
Okay.
Just wrap up this damn episode.
Listen, Gary the Bag Rosenfeld, it was so great talking to you after half a century. We reacquainted with my childhood friend.
Gary Bag.
The Bag. That was fantastic. Everything else. Had a great episode. Really enjoyed it. Thank you, Pod Family. We'll see you next week.
Wrapping it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
An O-face is like someone's face when they have an orgasm, Dad.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Now I want you to look up at that pumpkin right now and imagine he's having an orgasm.
He really is.
Funny. Now when you say my home alone O-face, and I'm like, hey, that's inappropriate. Don't talk about that. You get the joke now?
I'm learning. I'm learning, unfortunately. All right.
Good night, everyone.
Nice chat with you.